My name is Steve Dodd. I'm the Regional Manager of Economic Development for Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska for the DNSF Railroad Plus Special Projects. I'm here kind of like the call today. Skip Calb, who usually does this presentation, has another commitment in Fort Worth today. Could not get up here. So I'm going to go through these pretty fast. I'm going to talk a little bit about our Gardner project and a little brief information first about the railroad. I'm not going to say very much because you've got another speaker following me at lunch, and I don't want to steal any of this under about the company, so you won't have anything else to talk about. But our railroad is a large railroad. We're like number one or number two, depending on who you talk to on what day, as far as the size goes in the United States. We do haul a lot of grain on our railroad. If you eat bread, you're probably eating wheat that we haul some time or another. I think we are the largest coal, or if not right at it now, hauling railroad too. And we are the largest intermodal rail carrier in the world. And with partners, Special Alliance, and other third-party logistics providers. This is just a little overview of what our system looks like. It looks like spaghetti in the United States right now in the Western Reserve. And it is a 32,000-mile network that takes a lot of money to operate. What you probably know where your products are coming from. And this slide is what we've been showing for our constituents in Gardner and about Kansas City. This is how we get products into the United States. And most of that big portion of this is, of course, coming through the Chinese. So that's what we're really interested in today with Gardner, because that's where we're seeing most of this business that would be coming into this country. China, you know, U.S. has about 300 million people. China's got 1.3 billion people. And this is what always grabs me when we do this presentation. China has more children in grade school than we got population. And every one of those kids is learning English. I can't say the same for our kids learning Chinese. So that just think about that. And so that's going to be a big thing in the future for us to look at. And these are some things that are facing our motor carrier partners today: the fuel prices, driver issues, hours of service, environmental, the new engines that are being required in the trucks for emission standards, competitive environments, insurance costs, capital, cost of new equipment. This is what the DNSF Intermodal Network looks like today. We're looking at kind of a four-corner approach. We got the PNW, the West Coast, Chicago, southern portion of Texas and Houston, and Alliance is our big one. And right in the middle of all that is Kansas City. And then we also have the line that goes to Memphis, and then we have a new intermodal facility that we're running in Atlanta with a partnership with CSX right now. So these are kind of what our four points are, and Kansas City is just right in the middle. We're looking at population, we call it market trends, megacolonies, where we think the growth is going to be coming. And if you look, you know, everybody knows where the West Coast and Chicago is. This quarter that we're interested in for this presentation is really from San Antonio all the way to Kansas City. That's the I-35 quarter, and that's what we really think is going to take off, and Kansas City is well positioned for that growth. And you can see the main portion of our business runs from L.A. right to Chicago and Kansas City, just right in the middle of that. We look at the truck rate increase. Now, some of these numbers, of course, were done before the economy went south on us, unfortunately. So these numbers have been skewed, and they're down quite a bit now. But we did see tremendous intermodal business from 2003 to 2007. And I've got another slide to show you what's happened to that since then. Productivity, the railroads have had tremendous productivity increases. Trucking has been, I think, pretty much staying. They're increasing, but they haven't had the increases that the rail has. And a lot of ours has to do with that we're better at unit trains than we were in the past. providing four unit transit ring from, say, Nebraska to PNW at one time. And we're not stopping our trains. And we're getting a lot better utilization out of the equipment that way. The turns on the equipment are, you know, instead of being a freight car loaded every 3 months, now we're loading it every 3 weeks. So that's huge. Expansion, I'm not going to spend much on this because I'm talking to you, have a little more to say about this. But our transcontinental, we spent a lot of money on that. We're continuing to look at intermodal, but not as, the developments, but not as quickly as we would hope to be. Existing intermodal facilities are going to need to stay out of Tacoma, Portland area, the West Coast, of course, Dallas, Alliance, and then Kansas City, Chicago. Smaller facilities in Denver and St. Paul and Houston, and a little bit in New Orleans. What was driving our capacity growth, the cause of Kansas City was to look at our Gardner facility. Gardner, for, you don't know where Gardner is, about 25 miles southwest of here, now I-35. We just have outgrown our Kansas City Argentine facility, which is just kind of an afterthought when I'm looking in. And I've got a slide coming up on that. But the Gardner was targeted for 2009. We don't know for sure when we're going to open Gardner at this point, but we are continuing down the path with that. But it would be a state-of-the-art facility with long 8,000-foot tracks that allow the toll trains in without having to break them and we'll have very good entrance and exits coming out of the facility to the highway system. One of the things that we like to talk about with these new intermodal facilities is we like to talk about the logistic park that's going to grow up around it. And that's what we really, in the past, the railroads used to develop industrial parks, and they run rail spurs in its own with all and try to sell that property to customers and get the rail business. Now we're pretty much focusing on logistics parks where we build an intermodal facility and then develop the distribution around it to reduce the dray cost to the customers, and it's been very successful. We call it multimodal. Some of the ones we've done partnership with is Alliance, which is north of Fort Worth, with the Hill Building Corporation, which is West Rossboro Juniors. Still is, I guess, facilities. And but that one's a little different. There we actually built a manifest yard along with the intermodal facility. And the next one that I was very involved with, and former Wiki will be speaking with us, is very familiar with this too, is our Logistics Park Chicago. And we partnership in the old Joliet Arsenal facility with the state of Illinois and the redevelopment agency. And we basically leased 650 acres and built an intermodal facility there from Centerpoint Development, who then started building and selling buildings around it to customers. And what they've had there so far is the success of Walmart, Sanyo Partners, to name a few. And we're basically about, I don't know what our list has been there this year, but in the past they were approaching over 1 million lists, and they're probably another down now. But we're about out of space there now. There's not much left. We thought it was going to take 20 years to build it out, and it took about 5. So it went fast for us, and we're probably going to be looking for something else in that area in the near future. This is just what an intermodal facility looks like. It's containers coming in, being unloaded from trailers or bogies, and put on the train and off the train and heading out. The Gardner facility is the current facility in Kansas City is right here at the Argentine Yard down at 635 and I-70. And the new facility is going to be at a Gardner down I-35, like I said, that's 20 miles. We're someplace right in here right now. So you can see it's outside of the city a lot further than what we have today. This is just a little more information on where we were at with Argentine in 1907. Unfortunately, Those lifts are down now substantially. The existing NMO facility here at Kansas City sits on 45 acres, and the NMO facility at Darden is going to be up about 350. So you can see it's going to be quite an increase. We don't have any room for expansion of the facility. And one of the things that our people do really well here in Kansas City is to maximize the parking spaces and turn the trucks and the trailers over. And during the day, a lot of our facilities will turn the parking space over two or three times a day. The Kansas City people have been able to do that 7 or 8 times a day, that parking space will get turned over. So that's the reason we've been able to get those kind of numbers in the past year, because of the efficiencies that we've been able to have. The old NMO facility, this is our Argentine yard. This is where we classified. This is our largest rail yard on our system. It classifies somewhere around this peak 2,500 cars a day. And the little green area, that's our NMO facility. That's 45 acres. So you see our rail facility really dwarfs the NMO facility. There's no room for expansion. I've already kind of talked about, we went to Gardner about a year looking for property out there, and we finally came up with a couple of sites, and we ended up with the second site that we wanted, and we really needed. An intermodal facility is really hard to site because you need 8,000 feet. Well, that's a mile and a half. You can't have any crossings. You can't have any roads or anything there. And to find that near a metro area is very difficult. And it took a while to figure out exactly where we could put this. And we were very lucky to come up with a couple of sites, and Gardner was our first choice. And just a little bit, where the site is in relationship to Gardner, the city of Gardner, this is New Century Air Center. This will just bring it up on an aerial here as I just give you a little idea where the site's going in. We are actually, today our main line runs right here. There's two main lines. One comes down 56, and the very first line is the original line of the Santa Fe Railroad, and it followed the least, you know, the easiest path down the creek. It's got a bend in it right here. And our new intermodal facility, we're going to have a logistics park around it that the Allen Group will, that we currently have under contract to develop. Like I said, this was targeted for 09. I'm not sure what the date is yet. I haven't got a firm date when we hope to be up and running. But the strips, this will be the intermodal facility with the 8,000 foot strip tracks. It will have electric trains versus diesel, which will reduce the emissions substantially at the facility. We've got some environmental hurdles to take care of here. This little magenta line is creating the laundry through the facility now. We're relocating it to where the green line is, and that's kind of what we've been waiting on to get started. We're waiting on our 404 environmental permit, and hope that we hope to have that done by June, so we can start some grading out there. This is probably more of what you guys are interested in up there, because the road system out there, the improvements. This road is, I think, 183rd Street will be improved. Actually, will be taken out right here. This street, this way of the road, will be improved. And this is 191st Street. And then we improve. We're going to eliminate this road. Future improvements to the system out there are going to be new interstate cuts. We're hoping we're going to have a new interchange at one of these two locations. Be an improvement in the interchange here on Highway 56, and there'll be an overpass off the Waverly Road. And all this is being funded by both the railroad, the Allen Group, Johnson County, and the state will be backing the bonds for the Johnson County. They set the legislation to do that this week. This is just what the new crane system is going to look like. The cranes will actually be running on rails and not on rubber up and down through our facility. It's German technology, and we have in place right now at Memphis. And what it does is it gives you a better green footprint for the facility, less lighting, because the cranes are electric, they can carry their own lights. We're really excited about that. We're going to have with the relocation of the screen, there'll be a 74-acre conservation corridor that right now, if you've ever seen those farm fields, the stream runs through it, the farms are farming, it's about filled in. What we're going to do is it's going to relocate this corridor of drainage, and it's going to be a very nice 90-acre conservatory for the wildlife out there they don't really have today. Carbon footprint, everybody's very interested in that today, and Paul will talk a little more about this, so I'm not going to get into that too much today. This is just in the Kansas City Intermodal Facility will save anywhere from 65,000 to 275,000 tons of CO2 every in 2015. That's been the estimate. All the way up to 700,000 is quite 2 million pounds of carbon, say CO2 savings in the year 2030. A couple of statistics. Logistics Park Chicago opened in 2002. Just saw that. It's got 8.5 million square feet in there now. $1 billion investment, more than 8,200 jobs. That was a super fun site, and that's what we did with the Center Point partnership up there, public-private partnership up there. Alliance pretty much has been a private some public, but it's a little 31 million square feet of space that's been built out there, and over almost 28,000 jobs have been created at that facility. Fiscal impacts that we estimate regarding the state of Kansas is of $1.7 billion, $87 million annual average to the state of Kansas. Johnson County, $1.4 billion impact to this. I won't go through all these numbers, but employment, when this thing goes, you know, and of course these numbers were all predicated before the economy went south on it, but we still think it will be coming back. But somewhere around 13,000 new and indirect jobs will be created by this logistics park and automotive facility. Wages, Gardner could see as much as $173 million a year in wages coming into the community. 7.7 billion impact to the state of Kansas. I'm going to go through here. This is probably the slide that what we're seeing right now. Right now, our intermodal business is down 12% from 07, and it's, what we're seeing in the port volumes is even more dramatic. They're offering all kinds of incentives now at the ports to steamship lines to come to their ports. You know, you're down 38 to 40% of these ports. They're really struggling because they're going to have to start, they're laying people off and they just don't have the traffic. And they have made all these infrastructure improvements at the ports and they're trying to pay for them too. Everything is really struggling. But, you know, you look at Seattle, the imports are down 47%. That's half. You know, when your business goes in half, you've got some dramatic things that you have to do to keep open. Status of the 404, I've already kind of talked to that. The annexation, the Gardner, we've already pretty much gone through all that. There's been some changes in the government down there. We're going to wait and see what the new city council people come back to us with, and we've got some issues probably go through with those folks at this time. The new I-35 interchange, talking to them a little bit about that. We're not real sure when we're going to get that put in yet, so we give them a timeline. The state's not going to push it until we know when we are actually going to need it. But we're still thinking the facility itself is going to take 22 to 24 months to build once we start full construction. So we want to make sure that the roads are in place and we're ready to open. Couple of things we've done on this is land use out in the area for the K-10 corridor, Sunflower development. The Sunflower facility was a former arsenal-type project over off the K-10 between Warrenton, Kansas City here. It's about 9,000 acres. We're hoping to work with those folks for more development, more distribution to come to the facility, plus road infrastructure. onto a new road infrastructure from I-70 down to I-35 that would go through the Sunflower Development, the near our facility to bypass the bottlenecks of Route 35 and I-35 to get down to the facility. We've got the grade and access study that KDOT's been involved in. We've got a bi-county study based on what the traffic patterns are going to be. Can't really talk to those numbers since I'm not the one that's really doing this presentation all the time. I have to defer to Skipper. But if we can get to that's all the public record out there. Some of the things that's like me being an economic development person is actually having property to market again for rail and distribution, because we really have run out of property in the metro area for new customers. And this is one of the areas that we will be promoting, but we get that timeline done and we'll go from there. The biggest challenge right now, of course, is getting people to take a look and get distribution going, get people to forget about fear and move forward. The stimulus plan should help us, we hope, get some of the money for the infrastructure going out there. We haven't, some of the challenges for future facilities are going to be the eminent domain issues. How do we go about siting new intermodal facilities in new states or other states? You know, we did go through a lot of controversy at Gardner. Don't get me wrong. It hasn't been an easy fight, but it's been hard to, it's been a two-year process. We have intermodal review committees started by the city of Gardner. We've had numerous meetings. We've had anti-intermodal people coming at us, and we did the vote down there last, it's been a year in November now, and it was 3-1 for the intermodal facility, but it's still that small contingency that, you know, the squeaky wheel that just keeps coming back, and we're hoping to get this through the process and get our facility built, but not without hurdles. And you're going to go face those, and the Department of Transportation in Kansas and the government have been very, very supportive of our facility. As I said, we're hoping to see some of the federal stimulus help us on future projects, not only for highways, but for freight rail, Amtrak, other areas. I'm not going to talk too much more about this, but I think Paul's going to talk about that more so than I might be. Operation Lifesaver, that's safety. We're hoping to see more money go into safety at grade crossings, close more grade crossings in your states if we can. We'll save the questions for a little bit later. Sorry, I'm going to do that pretty fast, but since you have any questions, I can hold that and answer most of them.
Let's save the questions until after we've heard from our panel panelists.